tonight, two alarming headlines in the battle against COVID. An internal document from the CDC saying the war has changed because of the Delta variant. Officials warning it's just as contagious as chickenpox, spreading faster than the common cold. One person possibly infecting up to nine others. Vaccinated people transmitting the virus as easily as the unvaccinated. Also tonight, the CDC revealing the reason behind its mask reversal, a COVID outbreak in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Nearly 900 cases, 74% of them fully vaccinated. And now this cruise ship reporting an outbreak of its own. Dr. Jha standing by. Tonight, the race to stop a nationwide eviction moratorium from expiring in just a matter of hours. Millions at risk of losing their home unless Congress takes immediate action before heading out on summer break. Severe weather damage in the Northeast, at least three confirmed tornadoes in Pennsylvania, including an EF3 with winds up to 140 miles an hour. People scrambling to find shelter, homes and buildings damaged, cars tossed. Overseas tonight, Olympic drama in Tokyo. The American swimmer losing to Russia, then saying he's competing in a race that's probably not clean. Simone Biles posting this practice video, landing hard on her back as she weighs a possible return to competition. And Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. women's soccer team saving the day with a huge win. James Longman there in Tokyo. Back here at home, a House committee releasing handwritten notes appearing to show former President Trump pressuring the Justice Department to declare the 2020 election corrupt and to, quote, leave the rest to me. Now the IRS clear to turn over his tax returns to Congress. This frightening scene in Arizona, one person killed and five injured by a swarm of bees coming from a 100-pound hive.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us on a Friday night. I'm Cecilia Vega in for David, and we do begin with the pandemic and that alarming news from the CDC acknowledging that, quote, the war has changed because of the Delta variant. Officials now say it is as contagious as chickenpox, spreads faster than the common cold and seasonal flu, and that a vaccinated person who becomes infected can pass it on just as easily as someone who is not vaccinated. All eyes right now on Provincetown, Massachusetts, an outbreak of nearly 900 people. 74% of them were fully vaccinated, and we are there tonight. And the breakthrough cases on the Royal Caribbean cruise ship, six passengers testing positive, four of them fully vaccinated. Even still, the CDC is stressing that vaccines strongly protect against serious illness and death. Tonight, more than 190 million people have received at least one dose. That's 67% of everyone 12 and older. Dr. Jha is standing by, but ABC's Steve Osunsami leads us off at the CDC in Atlanta.
Public health officials are trying to warn Americans tonight that the fight against the coronavirus has changed dramatically. After looking at the latest outbreaks around the world, they believe that this new Delta variant of the coronavirus is at least three times as contagious as Ebola, bird flu, and the common cold. Just one person sick with the original strain of the disease could easily infect an average of two to three people in close contact. That number could now be up to nine people with the Delta variant, according to the CDC.
I started to get a fever, and that's when I kind of knew, oh, this is it. This is COVID.
Johnny Chagnon is one of nearly 900 new cases of COVID-19 that came from what scientists believe is an outbreak of the new Delta variant in Provincetown, Massachusetts. He's a public health department employee from Vermont and says he and his friends were fully vaccinated.
We were partying, like I said, partying like it's 2019 and pretending like the pandemic never happened. I've heard of dozens or even more than 100 cases of people that I'm connected to personally who tested positive. Within my close circle of friends, there's about 10.
Authorities say that 90% of the people they've tested so far were sick with the Delta variant, and that about 74% of state residents who were infected were fully vaccinated. It's similar to the outbreak on this cruise ship in the Bahamas. Four of the six people being flown home tonight were fully vaccinated. Our correspondent Trevor Ault is in Provincetown this evening, where face coverings are now required everywhere.
After the year we had, or the 18 months that we had, putting a mask back on or getting a shot in the arm, it's nothing. It's not a lot to ask.
It's not just Provincetown. On Broadway and New York City, you'll now need to be wearing a mask, and show proof you've been vaccinated to see a show. But people aren't always loving the old rules returning.
We're not doing masks again in our family.
At this school board meeting in Florida, parents upset with wearing masks had to be shown the door.
It's ridiculous. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Today, America woke up to its highest number of daily new cases since early February, more than 86,000. More use of the vaccines will certainly help. And to that end, the federal government says it's working as fast as possible to get full FDA approval for the Pfizer vaccine. Some people refuse to get the shot without this.
While leaving the White House tonight, the president was asked if Americans should expect to see more restrictions because of the increasing number of COVID-19 cases. And he responded, quote, in all probability. Cecilia.
Okay, Steve, thank you. There are so many questions. So let's bring in Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, thank you for being with us. This new data from the CDC, it raises so many questions about returning to life as we knew it, the Delta variant. Of course, more contagious than the common cold. So what does this mean for the future? Do you see us returning to lockdowns? Do you see people wearing masks indoors and out, no matter the area?
Yes, Cecilia, thanks for having me back. Look, the data actually, I find mostly reassuring, and I'll tell you why. Yes, there was an outbreak. Yes, many vaccinated people did end up getting infected. They did really well. Very few of them ended up getting sick. Very few ended up getting hospitalized. Nobody died. And the outbreak quickly abated. This is the kind of stuff we should expect. These vaccines are not 100%. But all the data I'm seeing so far suggests that the vaccines are protecting people. As long as we can keep vaccinating people, I think we're going to be fine.
We also, of course, have our eyes on this outbreak in Provincetown that Steve was mentioning. 74% of cases there among those who are fully vaccinated. Yet we've been told repeatedly that breakthrough infections are so rare. So how do you explain this?
Yeah, basically what you had was you had large numbers of unvaccinated people from around the country descend on a small town, packed bars, packed nightclubs. And so you had a large outbreak and a bunch of vaccinated people did end up getting infected. We've always said these vaccines are 80 to 90% effective at preventing symptomatic infections. But again, almost no one got sick, no one died. This is, I think, the vaccine working. I see this as very hopeful.
And finally, Dr. Jha, all of this seems to raise some very serious questions about heading back to school in just a matter of weeks. Vaccinated people can spread the Delta variant just as easily as the unvaccinated. So how concerned should parents be about sending kids back to school?
Yeah, so I think that there's a little bit of a misreading of the data so far. I'm not at all convinced that vaccinated people can spread it as easily as unvaccinated, even after infection. So we're going to have to sort that out. But if we get vaccination numbers higher, infection numbers will get so low across the country that I think it's very possible and, in fact, should be our goal to get all the kids back in school full time. It's a way. There is a way to do it and to do it safely.
Dr. Jha, we always appreciate your perspective. Thank you so much. We do want to turn now to that frantic effort to head off an eviction moratorium set to expire tomorrow. Millions of renters at risk of losing their homes, landlords unable to pay the mortgage. And tonight, time is running out. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill.
Tonight, millions of Americans could be kicked out of their homes as soon as Sunday because Washington has failed to extend the moratorium on evictions. And now the House is leaving for summer recess.
Why did Democrats wait until now, hours before recess ends, hours before this eviction moratorium is going to expire, to try and hold a vote to extend it?
I think this is something that we'll work out. So we would like the CDC expand the moratorium. That's where it can be done.
But the White House points the finger back at Congress, saying it's on them.
So the Supreme Court's ruling stated that clear and specific congressional authorization would be necessary for the CDC to extend the moratorium through July.
Meanwhile, in Salt Lake City, Deborah Chamberlain, a single mother of two young girls, is preparing to be evicted this weekend.
It's a horrible feeling as a parent. No parent wants to be in that position, not to be able to tell their kids what the answer is going to be.
And in New Orleans, Amy Kuzno, a chef whose restaurant shut down because of the pandemic, now fearing she will be out on the street.
I don't even know where I would go because all the homeless places where people might sleep or congregate are full already before anybody gets evicted.
The irony here, this is not a battle over funding. Congress has already allocated $47 billion to help tenants and landlords during the pandemic. but only $3 billion has been distributed. New York, for example, was sent $2.7 billion, but almost none of that has gone out to the people who desperately need it.
Cecilia, the House just adjourned moments ago. President Biden is now putting pressure on state and local governments. In a statement, he says they must take all possible steps to immediately distribute those rental assistance funds. The reality here, Congress and the administration knew that this deadline was coming for weeks, and they did nothing about it. Cecilia.
And we are now down to the wire. Okay, Rachel, thank you. Next tonight, the tornado watch in the plains at this hour after at least a dozen reported tornadoes ripped from Illinois to New Jersey. Car dealerships in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, destroyed by the first EF3 tornado to hit that state in 17 years with peak winds of 140 miles an hour. Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef.
Powerful storms tearing through the mid-Atlantic and the Northeast.
Wow, car is shaking.
Outside Philadelphia, employees and customers at this car dealership racing into the bathroom for shelter as a tornado approached Thursday, emerging to find it ripped apart.
This just did not happen.
Also inside that building, Victor Rivera and his mom.
My mom got under the table and I kind of just like held her in my arms, and then I watched the glass implode and the ceiling fall in and everything kind of caved in from there.
Four people hurt at the multiple dealerships struck here in Bucks County, six injured in all.
You can see the windows of these cars completely blown out. And over here, this part of the building of this dealership leveled to the ground. The damage is extensive.
Tonight, we're learning that Twister was an EF3 with winds up to 140 miles per hour. The most intense damage here and at homes nearby.
You know, doing this for 34 years, it was the first time I saw that kind of devastation up close and personal.
And Cecilia, New Jersey averages two tornadoes per year, but with this severe weather outbreak, they had at least four confirmed there in one day. Cecilia.
Okay, Ariel, thank you so much. We're going to Tokyo now, where there are now fresh accusations of doping at the Olympic Games. After losing gold to a Russian competitor, American swimmer Ryan Murphy, suggesting the sport probably wasn't clean. But there was a big win for the U.S. women's soccer team, advancing to the semifinals in a nail-biter. Here's James Longman.
Tonight, Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. women's soccer team keeping their Olympic dream alive.
Megan Rapinoe into the top corner, and the USA win 4-2 on penalties.
Defeating the Netherlands, advancing to the semi-final. And COVID a concern, but it's doping that has some athletes really worried here. American swimmer Ryan Murphy telling reporters, "It is a huge mental drain on me throughout the year to know I'm swimming in a race that's probably not clean." Murphy, who won gold in the 100 and 200 metre backstroke in Rio, lost both Olympic titles to Evgeny Rylov from Russia.
Rylov gets the gold, Kolesnikov the silver, and Murphy gets the bronze.
Russian athletes are banned from competing under their own flag, and their team is called Russian Olympic Committee. But some don't feel that's enough after a massive state-sponsored doping program was discovered after the 2014 Sochi Games and drug testing enforcement loosened during the pandemic. And it's not just a concern in swimming. American rower Megan Calmo and her partner didn't make the finals in women's pair, tweeting after the team from Russia took silver, "Seeing a crew who shouldn't even be here walk away with a silver is a nasty feeling." Murphy later saying he wasn't accusing his competitor, who's adamantly denied doping.
"My intention is not to make any allegations here. Congratulations to Evgeny. I do believe there's doping in swimming."
Meanwhile, the biggest question of this Games, will Simone Biles vie for an individual medal? The superstar, whose exit from the team and all-round competitions shocked the world, revealing on Instagram today she's still experiencing a phenomenon that gymnasts call the twisties. Writing, "For anyone saying I quit, I didn't quit. My mind and body are simply not in sync." Biles posting, then deleting videos from her practice session this morning, not completing a twisting maneuver on the uneven bars and landing hard on her back. Commenting, "I don't think you realize how dangerous this is on a hard competition surface."
So tough to see that video, so let's get right there to James in Tokyo. James, the last time Simone Biles can try for a medal in these Games is this weekend, so where do things stand?
Well, Cecilia, she's being evaluated daily. We may not actually find out until just before the competition. The first of them is vault, and that goes Sunday. Cecilia?
We'll be watching, of course. Okay, James, thank you. We're going to head back here now with new questions for former President Trump tonight. A House committee releasing handwritten notes that appear to show the former president pressuring the Justice Department to declare the 2020 election corrupt. The former president then saying, quote, "Leave the rest to me." And this comes as the IRS has now been cleared to give Congress his tax returns. Here's ABC's senior national correspondent, Terry Moran.
Tonight, stunning real-time evidence of how Donald Trump allegedly tried to pressure the leaders of the Department of Justice to declare the November election corrupt, but they wouldn't do it. These are the handwritten notes taken by a senior DOJ official on a December 27th phone call. They show Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen telling Trump the DOJ can't and won't snap its fingers and change the outcome of the election. Trump had an answer for that argument. Don't expect you to do that. Just say that the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the R, Republican congressman. In public, Trump was pushing the same falsehood.
The truth is, we won the election by a landslide. We won it big.
But according to the notes, Richard Donahue, the number two official at the DOJ, told him flat out that much of the info he is getting is false. We look at the allegations, but they do not pan out. The Justice Department had launched dozens of investigations into voter fraud claims, interviewed hundreds of people. Trump's response? You guys may not be following the internet the way I do. The Justice Department handed these notes over to Congress, and today another big move. The department ruling that Trump's tax returns must be handed over to House investigators. All signs it's a new sheriff in town. Cecilia?
Something he has fought every step of the way, Terry. Thank you. And the Biden administration has carried out its first fast-track deportation flights to Central America. Two flights departed Brownsville, Texas today, part of a program to quickly return migrant families who arrive at the border and who don't qualify for asylum back home to Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. The number of Central American families crossing into South Texas rose again this month. And when we come back, the swarm of bees attacking from a 100-pound hive, killing one person, hurting five others. And news coming in right now about a deadly plane crash in California.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, a terrifying scene playing out in Marana, Arizona. Authorities say one man was killed and five others injured, attacked by a massive swarm of bees. Three firefighters among those hurt, one stung about 60 times. The bees coming from a 100-pound hive that was near a home. Most of those bees have now been removed. And in Banning, California, authorities are investigating a deadly plane crash. Two people killed when the small plane went down near an airport. The plane crashing in a vacant lot and catching fire. No one on the ground was hurt, thankfully. No word yet on that cause. To the index now, and mudslides trapping more than 100 people in their cars in Colorado. Emergency crews in Glenwood Canyon on the scene there. People forced to take shelter in a tunnel on Interstate 70. The highway will remain closed through the weekend. And the construction collapse trapping workers right here in New York City. Firefighters pulling two workers from the debris in Brooklyn today. The ceiling and brick walls coming down on the second floor. The building was being demolished. Those workers are now being treated for serious injuries. Finally tonight, America Strong, with help from our friends at Como News in Seattle, the oldest working nurse in the country. She is finally ready for a break after 75 years on the job. Cece Rigney from Tacoma, Washington, began nursing school in 1943. And for the next seven decades, Cece would care for thousands of patients, driving to work, putting on her scrubs. She's an OR nurse at Tacoma General Hospital. And at 96 years old, Cece is now ready to retire. So many asking, what took so long?
Why don't you retire? Well, I like what I do.
After 75 years on the job, her secret?
You have to have compassion, you have to have love, you have to have patience. You have to really want to take care of people.
Cece heading back to the hospital one more time.
Hi, Cece!
Her fellow nurses lining the hall.
It has been an honor.
Yeah, thank you.
She's one of a kind. We're going to miss her.
I have learned so much from you.
She's a legend. There's no other word.
Tonight, Cece telling us she hopes everyone continues to learn every day, just like she does.
It has been a very gratifying and important part of my life. I have made so many, many friends, and I know I will miss each and every one.
To Cece and all the other nurses on the front lines, we thank you, and thank you for watching. I'm Cecilia Vega. Have a great weekend, everybody.